I think we're just gonna call that a spade and say that for some reason technical difficulty as usual. But welcome into Two's Club right here on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, we are live as always. I am Jeremy, the Impact York, back from maybe long and a very fun vacation. He is the King ATL and Reggie Walker. How you doing, Reggie?
I'm doing good, Jeremy. Good to be back on with the guys.
Oh, absolutely. And who knows what kind of actual technical difficulties we'll have through the night. I tell everybody, bear with us. I promise we'll get you out in time for the game a little later. And then also joining us, as he has all summer long, he is Cody Superman Elias. How you doing, Cody?
Jeremy, good to talk to you. Reggie, my man, good to hear your voice again.
Hey, Cody, man, how's it going, man? Good to hear your voice.
Same here, man. You know, chilling out here on the West Coast. I'm going to keep my prayers for you guys. I don't know how close you're going to be impacted by the hurricane. So let's let you guys know I'm thinking about you guys. So.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Yeah, I've got some family down in Miami. We tried to convince a lot of them to leave, but I've got some stubborn, you know, ones that just refuse to. So I'm a little on nerves, but, you know, we'll get through it. Thanks again for your concern, though.
Anytime, man. I hope it all works out for you and you too, Jeremy. I hope you know everything works out okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like it's going to hit more of the East Coast, but yeah, we all have friends and family out that way. So, you know, obviously, shout out and prayers to them. And right here at the end of hurricane season, it seems like it is. It's Roger Clemens in the bullpen. It is fastball after fastball over here on the East Coast.
I mean, it's someone had a good tweet, or I think it was a tweet or an Instagram post earlier. Ever since Taylor Swift released that new song, "Look What You Made Me Do," all this stuff is starting to happen. So,
as much as I don't want to blame Taylor Swift completely, the weird thing as far, you know, shout outs and prayers and even condolences in certain situations to all the flood victims out in Texas and all those areas affected as well. And, you know, if we're going to say Taylor Swift may be partially to blame for some of the storms, it seems like every time – I just forgot the basketball player, but every time a particular basketball player gets traded or goes to a new team, it seems to flood out the area. So, you know, I think he might have something to do with this too.
Go ahead, Reg. You've been on the while. You talk.
No, I was just going to say same thing. I'm getting those double fastballs. My sister actually lives in Houston. So we were just getting on the tail end of her being in good place. I'm just like, listen, all you guys just need to move here to Atlanta again, and then we can we don't have to worry about the hurricane. We'll just worry about the remnants. So it's been definitely a trying past couple of weeks here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Coach will be with us. He was in a meeting. I just talked to him a few minutes ago. He said he will hopefully be back on in the next couple of weeks anyway. But got most of the band back together, and I'm excited to get it. So let's jump right into it. You guys ready?
Yeah, I'm good.
I will take that as a yes.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, both of us are good.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Here we finally get the band back together, and Blog Talk is throwing us under the bus again. So Blog Talk, you're not going to shut us up. We're going to keep talking for at least the next 55 minutes. But let's get some of the other stuff out of the way before we get to the NFL stuff, because it'll be a majority of our broadcast tonight. And, of course, let's start with the Mayweather-McGregor fight. You know, it happened just a couple days after our last broadcast. Talked about it here and there. Me and Cody did. But Reggie, what was your overall thought? Did it go the way you thought it would?
And this is what? I'm sorry, Jeremy. I'm a little choppy here. Well, this is what, reference to what now?
The Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Ah. You know what? Honestly, I was McGregor did, you know, surprisingly better than I thought he would. I mean, I figured that what ultimately I felt like lost him the fight and would lose him the fight was the fact that he doesn't understand the conditioning for being a boxer, number one. And then Floyd, a lot of people don't understand his conditioning, and that, you know, even when Floyd spars, one sparring round for Floyd is the equivalent of 3 rounds of boxing. So he's
right.
literally changing sparring partners like every 2 rounds. So, I mean, I kind of expected Conor to get tired towards the end. I'll tell you what, though, I like his grit, and I think with some training, I mean, that guy could really probably make some noise in the boxing area. He definitely can take the punch, and he did extremely much better than I thought he would. But it was definitely entertaining. I didn't feel as gypped as I did when he fought Pacquiao. So I think overall it was a good fight.
All right, Cody, what did you think?
You know, it's funny because I'm actually surprised with the way it turned out. I thought Floyd would end it pretty quickly, but you know, a lot of people thought that it was going to be where Floyd carried Conor through, you know, 8 or 9 rounds, and then, you know, after 10, which ironically is what happened. But you know, it's funny because I was actually at a concert during the fight, so I actually didn't get to watch the fight live. So what I was doing was I was using Instagram Live when I was doing the concert, and then the guy next to me was live streaming the fight, so I would pan over to the left and start watching the fight as I was trying to video the concert. So, but I, after reading everything and listening to both guys talk after, I do definitely think Conor has a shot at this, at joining boxing, because I don't think he really has anything left in MMA to really accomplish, especially in UFC. And with Floyd, I think Floyd should just ride out on the high horse now, since this is now, you know, he's won another fight. But when it comes to Conor, I think he should definitely think about getting into boxing, training more. Some people think there's going to be another fight. I really hope there isn't. But, I mean, they can make a ton of money off this yet again. So it could happen. I don't want it to, but if they want to make money, it's probably the smart thing to do.
Yeah, I don't think Floyd does it again. His goal, quiet as kept, was to beat the Rocky Marciano record, and now that he's gotten that, he'd be a fool to come back, money or otherwise. I mean, he's making so much money in promotion. If he really wanted to make money, get involved in Conor's camp and train him how to be a boxer, and then, you know, promote him if you really wanted to make more money. But I agree with you in that. I mean, there's nothing left for Conor to do on the MMA side, and I think that was part of what he did other than the big payday. I think that it would be a smart move for him to move towards boxing. I think he's proven that he can definitely make the jump.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
No, go ahead.
No, sorry, I definitely think he should make the jump, because boxing, unfortunately, if you know, everyone knows this, is boxing is kind of dying, and they need something to maybe spark it again. And maybe Conor's that guy. Maybe Conor's the guy that helps bring boxing back to prominence, because boxing was so big in the 80s and 90s with Tyson and Holyfield and everyone, and, you know, obviously earlier with Ali and Frazier and everything. But I think that's what boxing needs. Boxing needs someone like Conor McGregor to help revitalize the sport, because if not, it's the sport's dying and they need something. And I think, like I said, I think Conor might be the right guy for it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, I pretty much gave Conor the puncher's chance. I thought he could get lucky in the first few rounds with a punch in that one. Didn't necessarily play off that way, but yeah, I don't see any reason why Floyd would come back. Like you said, 50-0 is the best there's ever been in boxing. He got his last big payday. He's probably going to start promoting more. He's going to, especially with somebody like Conor, realizing how much money is involved. So I think overall everybody won on this fight, including Dana White, because as long as Conor's fighting anywhere, Dana White's getting a cut of it. So he could care less where he fights.
Right, right. And I mean, Floyd is and more importantly to note, this is guys like Floyd. Floyd joined the ranks of only three guys now. Him, Michael Jordan, and Tiger Woods are the only athletes to amass $1 billion in earnings in their sport. This isn't endorsement. This is just pure earnings from their sport. And I think that's impressive for a kid from Flint, Michigan, with no real education, just was a craftsman at what he did. I mean, he was the master of marketing of himself. And I think that you know, there's no reason to come back. He has nothing else to prove at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely agree. And like I said, I think we can all agree that it was a fun spectacle at what it was. It's not going to be anything any more serious than that. Maybe Connor sticks around and boxes a little more because he makes better money. But, you know, overall, I like that it happened. I like that we've been able to move on from it and look towards the next big thing.
Absolutely.
When you say the next big thing, do you mean Brock Lesnar returning to UFC? Because that's kind of what I feel like is going to happen, and he was billed as the next big thing.
That's true. It's you know, and that would definitely make sense to me because every time I hear the next big thing, I do think of Brock Lesnar. And he has to wait out his suspension, though. That's the only reason he hasn't returned yet.
Well, I kind of hope he does go back because I like watching him when he's in the UFC because I think he's yet again accomplished everything he needs to in the WWE. So, I mean, the UFC really doesn't need someone like him, but if Connor leaves, they might need some more star power, and Brock would be a perfect guy to bring back over. Even though he is going to be 40, he still might be good for the sport.
Oh, he's still a draw, and that's the same way that McGregor Mayweather was a draw. Anybody, I mean, that's how you make money. You got to have a reason for people to buy tickets and for people to buy merchandise, and somebody like Lesnar would definitely be into that. I do want to get to this baseball story before we get into maybe talking about some Zeke, and then obviously we're going to go through all the divisions. We're going to be pretty quick about it. Not really, we're going to talk about more division stuff than going team by team, but in the process we'll still hit all the teams. I don't know if you guys saw, but the Boston Red Sox are currently in some trouble with Major League Baseball because apparently they used an Apple Watch in the dugout somehow, or the dugout area, to steal signs from the Yankees. You guys hear anything about this?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, it's another Boston team. Finding a new way to beat teams from New York and then getting mad when they tell on them, basically.
Yeah, I've been seeing some real interesting memes out there with Boston, this Boston with an asterisk next to it. It's been crazy.
there's a good one of Belichick with a Red Sox shirt on. I'm sure what the meme was. I'm going to quote Bryce Harper here. With the MMA, but let me see if I can find it real quick, but I don't know if you guys heard the latest report. It was like 2 days ago. I think it was CBS Sports or might have been Comcast Sportsnet New England had a report that the Yankees tried to snitch out Doug Fister because of his mouthpiece. He takes his mouthpiece and wears it behind his ear. And they said they thought that they were using the secret listening device when it was his mouthpiece. This story is taking a bizarre twist over and over again.
That was funny. I saw that one today.
Yeah, that's I guess we didn't have much else to talk about up until tonight's kickoff game. So the Boston Red Sox did us a favor and gave us another Boston scandal to talk about. Do you guys see anything that Major League Baseball is going to do besides fine them and slap them on the wrist?
No, but Rob Manfred even said that, like, if you listen to what Manfred had to say, he goes, yeah, there's no rule against cheating or against stealing signs in baseball. It's about using the equipment in the dugout, which I get, but, you know, then you have Dave Dombrowski, the GM of the Red Sox, saying, I don't see a problem with stealing signs. So I don't like it because I feel like, you know, every team does it. They're going to deny it, but every team steals signs. I mean, it's inevitable because a guy on second base gets relayed to the guy at bat. The hitters in the dugout can relate to the hitters at the plate. I think it was Dontrell Willis told us today at work that he used to whistle to Miguel Cabrera when the catcher used to move inside of him when he's up to bat. So this happens all the time. It's just for some reason the Yankees and Red Sox are making it a bigger story than it really is.
Yeah, from a technology perspective, it's going to be interesting to see if they start imposing sanctions like, you know, football players can't tweet up until a certain point, you know, of game time, and there's no devices on the sideline. I mean, but it could be too far reaching, especially now that you're using the surface pads to look at plays and all of that stuff. So I'm like Cody. I don't think there's anything they do. Stealing signs has been a part of baseball since I can remember. So it is what it is.
Well,
right? Yeah.
One of the best things One of the best things I saw was when people said, some people have actually found a reason, found a good reason to use the Apple Watch.
Now, being a Samsung Gear guy, I can contest with that.
I was about to say, we're not going to get you in trouble for that one, are we?
No, no, I'm an Adobe guy.
That is very true. Anybody who knows Reggie or doesn't know Reggie, he's an Adobe guy. But I guess we have beat around the bush long enough. I guess we will talk about this little thing called the Ezekiel Elliott situation. It's a new book by Dan Brown, I believe. No, actually, it's the leading story in the NFL, where we all know it's the accumulation or the accumulation of two or three different isolated incidents. It's another former Urban Meyer guy who's in slightly legal trouble, even though that's going to get thrown out. And it's another case where the NFL thinks they are part of the untouchables, and they're going to super investigate more than police do. And the way it looks is Zeke's going to play Sunday night, and then he's going to sit for four, six, however many games he ends up doing.
Yeah, I'm torn on subjects like this because, you know, one of the big commentaries is, you know, the NFL is so quick to get involved in cases like this where there's little to no evidence, but then you get, you know, handed cases like Michael Bennett's situation and, you know, some of the others that are kind of brushed under the rug as kind of circumstance or happenstance, if you will. It's not like the Ray Rice incident where you had physical video showed, you know, his discretion.
Right.
But in Zeke's case, he does have a history of it. But it just seems to me like this story from this young woman is just so far-fetched and all over the map. It was a little hard to justify six games. Although what it did take me back to is, you remember, guys, remember last year he had some accusations made, and maybe this was the same case where they just kind of brushed it away and let him kind of go and play. You know, there was really no investigation or nothing. So it makes you wonder if this is kind of get back or repay payment back from last year. Say, hey, we let him play last year despite accusations, but we're going to kind of tally up this time.
I
don't think he's going to be suspended at all. I think he's going to end up playing the whole year. I think this is going to keep getting drug out. I think it's just, I mean, we the NFL suspended Tom Brady for depleting footballs. I mean, come on. And there's really no clear evidence on this. And this, I don't think I saw this enough, but the same guy, Harold Henderson, not from Harry and Henderson's, was also the same appeal arbitrator for Adrian Peterson's case when he had the whole thing with his son that Henderson denied. And then he had Greg Hardy's case and reduced Hardy's suspension from 10 games to 4. So he upheld Zeke's suspension, which is great, you know, I guess great, but there was no evidence for it. But when Greg Hardy, when you saw what he did to the girl, his girlfriend, and all the guns and everything, it doesn't make sense because there's not enough evidence with Zeke. You know, unless there's a video, as Reggie said, like Ray Rice, there's nothing you can really do about this. It's just a little absurd that we're not going to let the best rookie from last season, sorry Dak, but I think Zeke was a star of that class last year, and they're going to try to suspend him for six games. It's a joke.
I will say this real quick is that, you know, one of the things that me and some of my other guys were talking about underneath the water cooler talk was there's an underlying.
Reggie, you don't have other guys. What are you talking about? We're your only friends.
Okay. Well, then some other associates. How's that?
That's better.
There's a serious underlining theme here with some of these guys, and I think it leads back to this whole CTE discussion. I mean, listen, guys, that thing is very real, and it's known that these guys are a lot more aggressive, and I mean, they're aggressive just by the nature of their sport. They have to be, but, you know, how much of this goes back to what's really going on upstairs with some of these guys? It's becoming way too frequent, and not that it doesn't happen in other sports or just in general life, for instance, but, you know, this is becoming an increasing issue. And I just got a feeling that at some point down the road, we're going to tie this back to that overall discussion.
Yeah, that's definitely something that could happen. And Let's see if I can find the story I was going to link this to. I can't, but I will just – I'll tie it to this. In an unrelated note, I saw earlier where the Cincinnati Bengals gave a three-year, I don't know, like $38 million extension to Vontaze Burfict, but, you know, totally unrelated to off the field or on the field physicality, right?
Yeah, but the guy's a walking concussion. I mean, again, we're getting back to the same theme. And even now, I think what was the 22-year-old kid that wanted to retire here and had to be talked out of it? This thing has become real, and it reminds me of a conversation I had with Jason Snelling, who was a former fullback for Atlanta.
He had
one concussion and walked away from football with 2 years left on his contract because he, you know, again, those guys are extremely nervous, scared about the possibilities. I mean, it's just surfacing way too much for some of these guys. So I think we need to spend more time, you know, trying to figure that piece of it out and fix that, or if you can fix it, really. But nonetheless, I just think that's going to start to play into a lot of what they're going to start finding out.
Well, this all stems back to Chris Borland. Remember when Borland, the 49ers linebacker, retired after 1 year in the league because he's just wanted to retire because he's afraid of concussions and all that. I mean, this is all stemming back from that. And I agree with you. CTE is getting bigger and bigger, and this, it's not going to go away because more and more guys are going to come out and feel like they have CTE. So the NFL, this is a huge problem for the NFL, and we got Roger Goodell worrying about, you know, trying to suspend Tom Brady for deflating footballs, and I'm not condemning anything that Zeke did, because if he really did do all this stuff, that's appalling, but there's no evidence of it right now unless they find it. But, like, for example, Tom Brady, it's a joke. I mean, you got guys that are they're suffering from brain injuries from playing in the league, and you're trying to, you know, cut corners on settlements with them, and then you're going to try to suspend arguably the greatest quarterback of all time for deflating air out of a football.
Right.
Yeah, agreed.
But, we could go on about this for a while, and I feel like this Zeke situation is not going to go over or blow over anytime soon. Like I said, he's supposed to play Sunday night because the ruling came in later than Monday at 4, which gives them proper time, if you're the Cowboys and Zeke, to know that you're playing. I just feel like this thing is either going to be like Brady and they're going to delay it for a year, or it's just going to get really ugly and nasty. And I mean, if we had more time, we'd get into the Michael Bennett situation, which, you know, is a whole different set of issues now.
Yeah, it might require its own show. Seriously.
You know, yeah, that's half joke, half serious to all of us and everybody listening involved. It's, the more I read up on it, and I guess we're all in the same boat. We're just waiting to see the video on that. And from there, I think we could probably do a whole hour show.
Well, yeah, I'll say this from just the other side of the coin, and no offense to you guys, but, you know, having lived in similar shoes, I don't have to see a video to know that it exists, because I've been a victim of it myself. Not necessarily as dramatic as being drawn on, per se, but – definitely, profiling is just one of those things, and even my 16-year-old son, you know, it's a normal conversation. You know, it has become, in my generation, in my family, in my circle, just one of those things you have to condition your children, especially the boys, to be aware of, that it's going to happen. It's not when it happens, it's going to happen. That's probably the most unfortunate and frustrating thing, is that it really is a part of our culture on this side of the fence. So it sucks. Again, it's happened so much that it becomes just part of normal life.
Yeah, and you know, even though, you know, I'm not a part of either of that side of the other side of the fence on it at all, I'll just apologize from our side of it that this kind of stuff shouldn't be happening, and yet, you know, when we need something like our country to combine our efforts to get rid of common enemies, instead we're making enemies out of each other. And it's just, you know, it's unfortunate that we haven't changed anything in you know, at some point, hundreds of years. But we're going to try to pick up the spirit to everybody. I think we got everybody down there. I think everybody's considering grabbing a a daddy soda or something as they're getting ready for the game. I think it kicks off in about an hour. But we're just going to kind of go through these divisions. We're just going to jump through the AFC. I want to finish on the NFC because conveniently, based off all four of us on the show, even though Coach is not here, we all represent – we have a team in each of the divisions in the NFC. So we'll spend a little more time there. But we'll just kind of go through. We'll talk about, obviously, quarterbacks, coaches, defenses, and just kind of go from there as to how we think the divisions are going to spell out. So, you know, let's start with the easiest one, and that would be the AFC South, where until Jacksonville finds a new – or finds a quarterback, let alone a new one, and until Indianapolis learns how to protect theirs, this is a two-team race where Mariota has tons of weapons and arguably a top three, top four offensive line in Tennessee. And depending on if it's the Deshaun Watson show yet in Houston as to how far they can go based off their defense. So to me, it's between those two. I think Tennessee will actually end up taking that division. Cody, how do you see it?
See, Tennessee's everyone's sleeper team, which I understand with Mariota. You got the running attack with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. You have some good young receivers in Corey Davis and Tajay Sharp. Eric Decker's there now. Delanie Walker's a great tight end. They have a good offensive line. They have a good. They have a decent defense. I'm not a big Mike Mularkey fan. I'm sorry. He was a good offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh when he was there, like, ages ago. I'm not sold on him as a head coach. I still like Houston because I like their defense. I think with the city behind them now with the hurricane. I mean, this is, you remember this, what, how about, was it 12 years ago with Hurricane Katrina or 11 years ago with Hurricane Katrina that hit New Orleans? That team just played with a whole new spirit. I know you have Tom Savage in there, quarterback for Houston, but it's eventually going to be Deshaun Watson's team. But they have a good defense. They have a good running back with Lamar Miller. They have a couple good receivers. They have a really bright offensively minded coach in Bill O'Brien. I think that this is Houston's division. Especially when you have two ends like Watt and Clowney out there, who I think Watt, if he stays healthy, could be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think he'll win it, but I think if he stays healthy, which I hope he does, because the league's so much better when he's actually healthy, I think he'll be up for Defensive Player of the Year. But that defense is pretty good. I still think it's Houston's division, but I can see Tennessee getting it as a wild card team, which they just might because they have enough talent offensively. But I'm taking Houston in that division.
Okay, Reggie, what do you see?
Kind of in line with what Cody was saying, if you switch head coaches with those two, I'm not a Mike Mularkey fan either. Obviously, he was here and screwed us up. But at any rate, I'm not sold on him as a coach. I think they have the weapons, but they don't have the right general. So Houston, the only thing that scares me is that their two best defensive players get dinged up very easily. Watt here and then Clowney. But just by virtue of the fact that they were able to show that they could be a dominating defense without one of the best defensive players in the league, in my opinion, shows that they may have it. Offensively, I'm not just quite as sold because they don't really have a real true running game. So I'm going to have to go with Tennessee. I mean, just by virtue of talent, I think talent will win them a few more games than not. But I don't see them making a deep run into the playoffs.
Okay. So to kind of recap there, to make sure I had it right as well, Cody is taking Houston in that division. Myself and Reggie are taking Tennessee, correct?
Correct.
Yes. I can't believe none of us have faith in Blake Bortles to win that division. I can't believe you guys don't like Blake Bortles. I mean, I don't know what to say.
I'm not sure I would like him on my Halo team or something like that, let alone I covered them for two or three years and it happened to be the first two or three years of his career. And I'm not sure he could throw a proper fit, let alone a pass to a receiver that didn't bounce or sail over his head.
It's a joke. And then when you look at Indianapolis, I mean, they got a good young GM, Chris Ballard, coming. But, man, the way you're completely butchering this Andrew Luck, Andrew Luck, the injury. Just think about it this way. If the Colts end up keeping Luck his entire career, they're going to have Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning play for that organization for what? How many years? Let's just say over 20 years you had those two quarterbacks, and they won, what, one Super Bowl probably? One?
Yeah, they won one.
Closer. Yeah, it'll be closer to 30 between. It'll be about 15-year runs from both. In a way, Andrew Luck is the new what's the Peyton's dad's name?
Archie.
He's the new Archie Manning. He's on a really crappy team where every snap he runs for his life, really talented. He has to keep plays alive, take hits he shouldn't have, and it seems like the team's doing nothing to help him out. So, in a way, he's the new Archie Manning.
Yeah, that's the personnel. Their personnel people just need to be castrated, man. I mean, just the way that they just went out and got this guy what he needed to be successful. Just in a running game. I mean, you got Frank Gore and you let him go, and then he's, I mean, it's just been ridiculous. Or they went and got Frank Gore, but it's just they haven't done anything. They haven't done anything defensively. Horrible, horrible. And they actually have a very good coach. I really like Indianapolis's coach. So I don't. Yeah, Tennessee or definitely Tennessee or Houston.
How can we forget that? That Indianapolis just traded for Jacoby Brissett. He could be the future, guys. The future of the Colts just got traded there for a former first-rounder who did nothing for them.
He's the future, all right. He's the future guy to get stretchered out when the offensive line can't block anybody.
Right, and that was what I was going to say. He's still going to be the same talent behind a terrible offensive line.
I mean, I'll take $1 million to get knocked out of a game, but, I mean, I'm only going to play one game because I'm not going to last that much longer.
Well, you know, the funny thing is Philip Dorsett's going to probably put up, like, he'll probably have, like, 50 catches for almost 1,000 yards and, like, 10 touchdowns this year for the Colts or for the Patriots, and Brissett probably won't even see the field because Polzin will play and then Luck will probably get rushed back. Oh, you know what? I take that back. He probably will see the field because they'll rush Luck back and he'll get hurt again. They'll realize Polzin's a bum. Stephen Morris can't play in the league. The other guy, Walker, I don't know his first name, and then you have Jacoby Brissett. So I think Brissett will get some time, but they're going to botch this Andrew Luck thing this year because it's been how long, and this guy still is not healed in the surgery. And it's just with Jim Irsay and that team, I don't know how you can't handle the situation. You have arguably the most talented quarterback in the league right now, and you can't get him on the field.
Right. But we're going to move on because instead of talking about the division leaders, we ended up talking about the bottom dwellers again. And not that that's a bad thing, but I want to get to these other divisions. Let's go AFC North. Like I said, we're going to knock out the AFC first. AFC North. Pittsburgh is still going to be strong. They've still got to fix their defense. They have one of the best high-powered offenses. They still have Big Ben, at least for this year. He says he wants to play. They still have Le'Veon Bell. They still have Antonio Brown. They traded one of their receivers. I don't think it really matters. Cleveland's not going to be as bad as people think. They're not good enough to actually contend for the division, but I'm kind of on the Cleveland wagon, at least from here on out, because I feel like they're finally making good decisions. They finally have good leaders at the top. I think Cincinnati's going to start trending downwards for the same similar reason. That they're not making good decisions. They pretty much – their team reminds me of the longest yard or whatever. They could probably play in the penal league as well. And then you never know what's happening in Baltimore. I think Harbaugh has bought himself an extra year based off of some of the things going on in Flacco's injury. But I just feel like at some point Harbaugh may be better off trying to get out of town and going somewhere else because it seems like Pittsburgh's going to win by default because Baltimore can't get their stuff together either. Reggie, how do you see it?
Yeah, I'm with you with the Cleveland thing. I think they finally did the right thing and gave Hugh Jackson the nod to take more than 1 year to actually turn it around. I mean, they got a bevy of draft picks next year. They made a good pick with Miles Jack, even though he seems to be hurt already, but they knew that coming in. Still the best player to be picked last year. I think DeShone Kizer is a great step forward. And again, I think in the next couple of years, you're going to see those guys emerge from the bottom. I still think it's Pittsburgh's team or league right now or division just by virtue of what they have. I love James Conner to spell Le'Veon Bell at some point. And I think this is going to be banned next year. So I think you're going to see Pittsburgh kind of take a dive because I don't think they know who comes next. But I see Pittsburgh winning, but look for Cleveland. I'm with you, man. Look for Cleveland to really make a move in that division. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but you know, I can see them winning, going to 7-9, 8-8
mm-hmm.
type of season.
Cody,
Pittsburgh. I just like the Steelers' offense. There's so much firepower. Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell. I love James Conner. I'm a Pitt fan, so I love James Conner. I love that story, everything he's been through. Antonio Brown's the best receiver in the league. Sorry, Julio Jones. Martavius Bryant's back. Not suspended anymore, so he's back. They got a tight end. What tight end did they just trade? They traded for tight end. Why am I drawing a blank on who they traded for?
From the West Coast, I believe.
Yes, but I can't remember. Why am I drawing a blank on who the tight end was?
I'll look it up. Keep talking.
Their defense, I like their defense, although they're going with T.J. Watt over James Harrison, which is a big surprise, but T.J. Watt will be nice to them. The only thing that scares me is their secondary still. So much sold on their secondary, but they have a good coach in Tomlin who has won. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl. The Steelers have had three coaches in like 100 years. So they have a great head coach. I think it's Pittsburgh's division. I think Cleveland's going to be better. I don't think they're going to win the division. And they'll probably win 5 or 6 games because I like the way they're trending. I think Cincinnati probably finishes second just because they have enough. They still have talent on that team, even though Marvin Lewis can't win a playoff game. And Baltimore, you never know what you're going to get with Flacco. Flacco being hurt. I agree with what you said, Jeremy, but John Harbaugh, I think he did buy another year, but I think next year this is probably his last year unless they win the Super Bowl or win the division. And it's time for him to move on. And I'm going to take the Steelers. Sorry, that was a lot of rambling, but I'm going to take the Steelers.
Hey, remember, that's what we're good at. We're all rambling man here. The guy you're thinking of is Vance McDonald, is the tight end.
That's it. He plays for the team I like. Well, I mean,
right. Right.
Maybe it's because Vance McDonald's not any good. That's why I didn't remember he got traded there.
And he's still number two behind Jesse James, so.
That says it all right there.
Right. Yeah, trade for a backup tight end. Yeah, why not? It sounds like a fantasy league move.
You trade for a backup tight end and put him behind your porn star named starter. That's great.
That's weird that you go that direction. I was thinking of the outlaw. That's not much of an outlaw if you actually know your history.
Yeah, it could go either way. I don't know what kind of – I'm trying to appeal to one edge of our billions of listeners. That's billions with a B that are in that demographic.
You know what? It's probably more than just a small section of it. Probably half of our listeners that know what you're talking about, and that's fine. But let's to recap there, we all think Cleveland is trending up. We all think by default, more than likely, Cincinnati will end up in second. We all agree that Baltimore still hasn't really put their act together, but Harbaugh's probably there at least another year, and that Pittsburgh should win this by default, even though they're good enough to be probably top three in the AFC anyway. Let's go to the AFC East, since one of those teams is about to have an exhibition on television. It actually should be a good game. But I think we all know New England is still going to run
this thing
at least for – At least one more year.
We can skip
New England. I was going to say, New England's obviously going to win it. Buffalo and the Jets are in a rebuilding mode, whether they know it or not, otherwise known as the two dumpster fires in the AFC. Miami's going to still win the same amount of games with Cutler that they did with Tannehill because Cutler can still throw, but – you know, at the end of the day, Cutler's going to be in a booth next year, and Tannehill's probably going to be in a booth like he is now.
So it's Matt Moore's team next year?
It might as well be.
All right, so we're doing the AFC West now because we all know the Patriots are probably going to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC.
Right. But, you know, we have to go through the formalities of saying that. So, yeah, since we all pretty much agree on those. AFC West, Cody, I'd like to let you start on that.
All right, so last year you got the Chiefs and the Raiders both finishing at 12-4, which is a great year for the Raiders. Move on from 7 wins, so you got that 5-win improvement. But a lot of people think they're going to trend downward. They think they're going to win around 9 or 10 games this year. I like Oakland's offense with Carr and Cooper and Crabtree and Beast Mode and all the young running backs they have. They have the tight end of Jared Cook. They have the second-best offensive line in the league behind the Cowboys. Their defense is behind their defensive line with Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin and everyone else, their linebackers are not very good. Their secondary is a huge question mark. Gary and Conley can't get on the field. Obi Malafonwu, their second-round draft pick, is on IR. They have a lot of question marks. So I want to say the Raiders because I work for the Raiders flagship station. I like the way they're trending. I still think it's Kansas City's division to win. I know a lot of people like the Chargers this year. I think the Chargers are trending upwards for sure. They have a potential Hall of Fame quarterback in Phillip Rivers, but I still think it's Kansas City's division. I don't care what happens tonight. I still think the Chiefs have enough. Even though I think Alex Smith, he has a bad game. He might not make it through the rest of the season as a starter because people are going to start calling for Patrick Mahomes. And then with Denver, I mean, is Brock Osweiler going to be the quarterback soon? Because, I mean, I kind of feel like that's what's going to happen, right? I mean.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yes, I'll take the Chiefs.
Okay. And before Reggie, before you weigh in there, I want to give a shout-out to our friends at 95.7 The Game Bay Area out there in Cody Land. Hello to all the listeners out there. And even though you guys are the flagship out there, I like that you went with Kansas City on that. Reggie, how do you see it?
I think Denver has the best defense on paper. Kansas City, something about Andy Reid coach teams, they just can't seem to get there. And I think that if they start calling for Patrick Mahomes, I think that's going to probably put them further down and it'll trend downward to me. But they still have some good pieces out there, definitely. However, I like the Raiders. I'm a believer in the Raiders. I think they have that and that it factor is, you know, much like I feel about my team in that they, you know, there's a swag about those guys that won't let them lose. And I think with Beast Mode there, that was kind of that piece they needed on offense to kind of keep Carr from having to throw the ball 50 times a game. And I think that's what's going to be the equalizer. He'll slow the games down, and their defense is definitely good enough with a lead. And I like Oakland, though. I think Oakland takes this.
All right. Deciding if I really want to go off the board or not. But, yeah, I agree.
Just
mostly
pick the Chargers.
What you guys said. Huh?
I said just pick the Chargers. Everyone's picking – a lot of people like the Chargers. I'm still going to say the Chargers, aren't you?
I'm considering it, honestly. I do agree with you guys that Kansas City, they're always going to win games, but in a way, Kansas Andy Reid teams are kind of like Marvin Lewis teams. They seem to get to the dance, and then they forget how to dance. So we'll kind of see how that works. But, I mean, even if you win your division and make it to the playoffs, even if you get eliminated, you still won your division. I agree. Marshawn Lynch is going to help the Raiders' offense. It's going to make it to where Derek Carr doesn't hurt his pinky and go running through the tunnel. Or break his leg, for that matter. For some reason, everybody's on the Chargers this year the same way they're on Tennessee, and I kind of agree with them. If they can keep enough people healthy, which seems to be their biggest issue, I mean, they still have Antonio Gates, and he's like the backup tight end. Phillip Rivers is going to compile enough numbers to probably be a Hall of Famer. Their defense has got a lot of good moving parts, kind of similar to Cleveland, just with a little bit more talent. I agree that Denver's probably the best defense on the field, and I agree that Brock Osweiler is probably going to start at least four or five games for him, along with pretty much everybody else. At some point, John Elway may start a few games for him because it can't be any worse than the three choices they have.
Right.
I mean, it's another team. I feel better behind that offensive line. Maybe I'll take $1 million to start a game for them or something. At least I won't get carted off. But I just want to throw this out. I'll go out on a limb, and I'll take the Chargers in this one in a weird surprise because I think they're going to dethrone probably Kansas City. They could dethrone Oakland, but Oakland's trending up in my opinion. I just want to say that if the Mahomes thing does happen, I would really pay attention to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I have said for the last 6 weeks should make a play for Alex Smith when he starts trending down, because at least Alex Smith can competently throw it to all the weapons and receivers in Jacksonville.
Yeah, but he's shell shocked. You gotta get a guy in Jacksonville. You gotta go after a Lamar Jackson, right? You gotta play yourself into a position for somebody that's not only gonna energize that team. We're not gonna go backwards, but yeah, I don't. Alex Smith is like Mark Sanchez to me. Sorry.
You mean he really likes cheesesteak?
Right.
I take offense to that comment. I'm an Alex Smith fan.
Yeah, I'm a Smith fan too, but he is trending downward, but the guy has been solid and always puts up numbers, so I'm always going to defend him a little bit. And more than likely, Jacksonville is going to play themselves into the Josh Allen or whoever the big quarterbacks are lottery anyway. But in my opinion, they should go after a veteran. Yeah. But let's see. To recap there, Cody's taking Kansas City. I'm taking the Chargers. And Reggie is taking Oakland, which also means that if Reggie ever needed a job, 95.7 The Game may need a morning show producer soon.
Right. I had the number one. Hey, I had the number one trending video in the Oakland game when they played the Falcons. So look that up.
You did.
I did.
I remember that.
That was week 2 last year, right?
It was.
That's right. The Raiders lost that game, but it was a close game. I remember that because they won that game in New Orleans on that 2-point conversion. Are we doing wild card teams? Are we going to pick our wild card teams? Because I have mine already top of my head who I think is going to be the wild card teams for the AFC.
Sure, go for it.
I got the Raiders and Tennessee.
Okay.
I like
Rich.
I like.
Go ahead.
So I've got the Raiders win. Yeah. So, yeah, I like that. Raiders, Tennessee. I like that.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give the Raiders the nod just because I didn't pick them for the division. And I don't know, I really want to go weird off the bat. You know what? I'll take Houston as the second one, actually, because I think they're gonna since I got Tennessee taking the division, so I'll give Houston the other nod.
Well, yeah, I took Oakland to win the division. So who did I say? Tennessee.
Yeah.
But I had Tennessee winning the division.
You did.
So I'll
and
take
took
Houston.
Oakland, so. Okay.
Yep, so I'll take Houston and Denver.
Okay. Do you think Osweiler's going to do it?
I think so, man. Some guys are just better fit for their system, man.
Right.
I think he's going to he'll return to form. I mean,
yeah.
For some reason, I just feel like he should have never left. But, I mean, hey, he's making $16 plus million to sit on the bench. Either way, he wins, right?
Right.
He does. But one of my favorite things he said when he resigned there earlier this week, I heard a quote from him saying that this is arguably top 5, if not top 3 day of his life return to Denver. It's just like, oh, my God. Dude, just shut up. He's the first-team quarterback right now.
Quit while you're ahead.
If you guys ever bored, look up Trevor Siemian's college stats in Northwestern. It'll blow your mind.
I thought it was the N/A was his college statistic.
Right.
It might as well been because he had really no numbers at all in college, and he's a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Well, to be fair, that was also that USC guy. He was
Matt Castle.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that was the system Castle played in though in New England. He won 11 games in that New England system.
Right.
But you're right though. He had no stats in college.
Hey, it worked out for him. But let's move into the NFC. And we're going to start with the NFC North because Coach is not here. We obviously know he would take Green Bay in that division. Cody, how do you see it?
I like – there's a couple teams I like in the division. Well, obviously, I'm going to leave the Bears out because, they're rebuilding. So I'll leave the Bears out of the division. I like the Vikings' defense this year. Their defense is always good. Mike Zimmer is one of the best defensive coaches in the league. So you know they'll be well coached. You got Stafford's new contract extension with the Lions. How much pressure does he put on him? Pretty much, I'm just beating around the bush. I think the Packers are winning that division. I think that it's gonna be them, and I think the Vikings finish second.
Okay, Coach, how do you see it?
I'll be coach today. Yeah, I like Green Bay.
Oh, not coach. Sorry, Rick. I was making note of Coach's pick of that. Sorry. Yeah, you can be Coach Reggie today.
Hey, I'll take Green Bay definitely. I mean, anytime you got Aaron Rodgers. You got a chance to win it all.
Right.
But that being said, again, same reason, Chicago, Detroit. Again, I'm not a believer in Matt Stafford staying healthy. Minnesota, I like their defense, but Sam Bradford just doesn't do it for me. And I think they'll take a slight decline. I like Dalvin Cook, but I think there's just going to be too much pressure on him to carry the offense because they don't have any real wideouts.
Yeah. you know, just quick note, and even though I have a lot of in-laws in Chicago and they are always very hospitable towards myself, and I try to give them good things. If they ask me right now, Chicago calling themselves in rebuilding mode is kind of like growing up here in the Southern Baptist area where there was the church building fund where we just kept putting money in it, and yet we never built a new building. Kind of agree with
right.
what Steve Harvey said as far as that. It seems like they're always rebuilding, and yet you don't really see a whole lot out of it. So I guess Chicago should really stand for a church building fund. Matt Stafford's always going to get his numbers, but Detroit still ain't figured out anything. It's kind of a shame. He's getting wasted, kind of like Phillip Rivers has. Minnesota's got a really good defense, but Sam Bradford's your quarterback. He's okay. He's good enough to keep the ship from sinking. Not sure he's much better than that. I agree that Cook's a good running back, but they're not good enough to overtake Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. And I'll get more into Green Bay a little bit later, but it's a clean sweep there. We all have Green Bay. So for the first time this year.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Even though it's not a technical game pick, there's the homer out pick that we all agree. So
agree.
Let's move to the NFC East, where suspension or not, and even though Dallas is my team, and I do want them to do well, and it would be really great to add another trophy to the case, I don't think that's this year. I think they're honestly playing for a wild card. We'll get into if I think they're one or not. For some reason, I really like Philadelphia, even though I'm a Kirk Cousins fan. I don't think Washington's as good as Philly, and the Giants' defense is pretty good, but Cleveland roughed them up on offense and defense a couple weeks ago, and that was even when the ones and twos were in, not the threes and fours. So, I don't know. In a weird pick, I think Philadelphia is actually going to take the East, and I think the Giants and Dallas are going to battle it out to try to get one of the wild cards. Reggie, what do you think?
I actually agree with you on this, Jeremy. I think Philadelphia is that team that can sneak up on people. They have – Carson Wentz has that it factor. LeGarrette Blount, I think, difference maker there for those guys on offense. I like New York. I like their defense. They've got some good pieces on offense, obviously, on the receiving side. But they still don't have a running back to slow the game down. And that's what scares me about New York. Washington, again, I like Kirk Cousins, but he's about it there. And Dallas, yeah. I honestly think Dallas takes the trend down, man. I mean, to be honest, they've definitely got one of the best offensive lines in football, if not the best. But losing Zeke, if they, you know, with or without him, I just think teams have film on Dak now, and I think they'll be able to kind of change up some coverages and kind of expose him a little bit. And obviously, defensively, you know, if you get up on Dallas, you know, two touchdowns is pretty much over at that point. Their defense is pretty terrible.
Okay, Cody.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants this one. I know they ended up they were 11-5 last year. So I like them this year. I like that defense. They have I like their defense, especially. I think Eli Apple in his second year is going to be a lot better. Love Landon Collins playing safety. Their offense with Eli, I'm not an Eli guy. And OBJ and the receiving core. Now they have Brandon Marshall. I think that's the team to beat in the division. I like what everyone's saying about Philly. I think Philly's trending upward. I can't believe I'm saying that because I don't like anything from Philadelphia except for the Sixers. The games, I think they're going to end up finishing last, even though I'm going to be Kirk Cousins guy as well. Don't think they lost way too much on offense and their defense isn't that good. And with the Cowboys, I think that they're still going to stay. It depends on the whole Zeke thing, which I obviously, like I said, I think he's going to end up playing all year. I think that they'll end up finishing second. They'll be probably, 10-6 will probably be. So they'll finish end up finishing second. But, you know, it all depends on how Dak plays in the second year because, you know, some quarterbacks have the sophomore slump. So it all depends on Dak, but I'm taking the Giants this year, even though I'm not a big Eli guy. But the guy wins, and that's all that matters.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
I'd like to throw in a quick prediction here. I think Kirk Cousins gets traded to the 49ers before the season's out.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I've got it down between he's either going to be a Ram or a 49er next year. It just depends on Jared Goff. So I would venture to say he's going to be somewhere on the West Coast either way.
That's a good angle because Sean McVay being the coach of the Rams, that's actually not bad. That's not bad.
Exactly.
I just put that together.
But I heard somebody say it the other day, and I was like, well, that was kind of the path I was taking through it. I figured out that a lot of the media people that I follow and listen to say similar things that I do, except for they have daily shows. So I'm just going to start posting things a lot faster when I come up with them so that I don't look like I agree with them so much. And that way we can all be wrong together.
Well, here's what I'll say about that going to L.A. thing, because number one pick is a very expensive pick. If he does go to L.A., I think it's a swap for Goff. I don't think they can keep both and justify it with the fan base.
That makes sense.
I think Goff could do decent in D.C. with Jay Gruden if he doesn't get run out. Because, you know, Dan Snyder likes to run out coaches.
Right. That's true. But to recap, Cody has the Giants, and myself and Reggie have Philadelphia, even though it pained us to pick them. I think it pained all of us to talk good about them. But, yeah, this Wentz kid's going to be a real deal, I think. Obviously, we're going to leave the South for last. Let's go to the NFC West, where I'm going to put San Francisco about a half step ahead of Cleveland. I think they are going to be better than people think. People think now that they're bottom dwellers, I actually think they're going to be maybe the sixth or seventh or – I mean, there's a chance they win eight games even. I'm not sure which eight, but I think San Francisco is better than people give them credit for, even with a first-year new system. Seattle's still going to run this division because the other three teams aren't close enough to compete with them offensively and defensively, and that pains me because I don't like the Seahawks at all. The Rams are in this weird – what do you call it? Not heaven, not hell, purgatory. Yeah, they're in this purgatory where – we're not sure if they're up, they're down. They're just kind of floating out on the sea somewhere. We're not sure exactly what they're going to do. If they make a move to get a quarterback like a Kirk Cousins or something, that'll show they're at least trying to move forward, even if it moves them backwards. And I don't know where all the credit for Arizona gets. I do like a couple of their players, mainly because they used to play for Georgia State, and I actually got to have conversations with them. Their offensive lineman, Ulrich John, is very, very talented. They've got some decent pieces. Carson Palmer is always going to be good, but they're not good enough to be anywhere near Seattle. So Seattle's going to run this division almost the same way Pittsburgh's going to run the North and the AFC side. You guys see it any differently?
Go ahead, Rich. I'll go last.
I don't. I think Seattle definitely runs away with the division. Arizona, they like to tout their defense. I don't get it, but okay. I think they need to really start looking for the next, you know, replacement at quarterback. Definitely got one of the best running backs around. I think Seattle takes it. I will always from here on out bet against any team that Kyle Shanahan's associated with, because I think he lost us the Super Bowl. But so 49ers
this could be a show unto itself.
Yeah, exactly. 49ers are definitely last, as far as I'm concerned. and again, I see the in third.
You know, I heard Kyle Shanahan's favorite number is 31. Sorry, I had to. It was too easy. You know what? I'm taking Seattle too. I could have made the joke and picked the 49ers because I'm a 49er fan. They're finishing last. I completely agree with that. I think they're going to be better. I think they're going to get better. I think they'll probably won two games last year under Chip Kelly. I'll give them five. They'll beat the Rams twice. They beat the Rams twice last year. They beat the Rams week one, and they beat the Rams week 15 or week 16. They'll beat the Rams both times. I think Seattle wins it. Like, the Cardinals have to replace too many guys on defense. I do like a couple of their rookies, Hassan Riddick from Temple and Buda Baker from Washington, but they lost many guys on defense. I don't care for the receiving core of John Brown, who was a fantasy bust last year, and J.J. Nelson. Fitzgerald's getting old, and Carson Palmer, and when he is healthy, I mean, he's okay. I love David Johnson. I think that guy's – I mean, he's number one overall fantasy player, but I think that guy's still underrated. And the Rams – it all depends on how Goff plays. because they have you know, bringing in Wade Phillips to run their defense was a huge move for them, because he'll help them out a lot with their defense, but they got to get Aaron Donald on the field. The guy's not going to play in week one. As of right now, he's not going to play because he's holding out. So it all depends on how the defense plays. It all depends on Goff. Is Goff the answer down there? Because, you know, I watched him play at Cal for a few years, and I like his potential, but he was playing in the bear raid offense, as they called it here, with Sonny Dykes. So we'll see what McVay can do with him. I think McVay could help him because, I mean, he did a nice job with Kirk Cousins, but I think Kirk Cousins might be more of a talent. But I'm gonna take Seattle, then I'll take Arizona. They're a distant second.
Yeah. And then obviously, I'll go ahead and throw out that I think. Well, we'll do the last before we get to the wild cards. Obviously, we left the NFC South for last. I feel like there could be a slight disagreement in this group, but I am not sure because it could be a clean sweep. I think we'll start with the obvious and let Reggie start this one because I think we could figure out maybe the order you have.
Yeah, obviously, I'm going with Atlanta. I think there's, you know, for several reasons. Well, beyond my obvious offense. But I just think that, you know, there's this talk about the Super Bowl hangover, and there's something about, you know, having such a monumental loss on your shoulders. I think you know, getting rid of Kyle and now you'll see more of Matt Ryan and his ability to either lead or destroy the team. I think we by far have the fastest team in the NFL, hands down. And there's just a synergy there in that locker room that, you know, they built it on something different. And Coach Hill echoed a statement he made: it's hard to beat a team, right? And so I don't think they care who wins. I think they you know, they got enough bulletin board material to destroy teams. So I picked them. I think Tampa Bay is the team that's going to give us the most run. I like Jameis Winston. I really, really like that kid. I just think that he gambles a little too much. That's going to be the difference. I think New Orleans is on their way out. It's time to replace Drew Brees, and they don't know who's going to do it. Carolina, there's a lot of talk about Cam Newton returning to form. He's lost all his weight. The kid, Christian McCaffrey. I like Kelvin Benjamin, but they still don't have a running game. Their defense is solid, but again, you know, you got to see us twice a year. I think it's definitely – this is the one division that is going to come down to those final six games where I think we play most of our division games in those final 6 weeks. I think so this will be the most exciting division to watch at the tail end of the season. But I think in the end, Atlanta's gonna surprise some folks. They're still not respected, and they don't care. And I think that's the thing that I like is, you know, no one's giving them a chance, and they don't care.
All right, Cody, how do you see it?
You know, Falcons head coach Dan Quinn. I love the meditation thing he does. Vision Pursue. I actually just downloaded that like a week and a half ago, and I've been doing it every day. It's a big thing Dan Quinn does. If you guys ever just Google it sometime, and you'll understand why it works. Shanahan brought it to the 49ers. It really helps with a lot of things. That's why that when you mentioned the synergy, Reg, about the locker room, I can see why, because the way it helps Quinn with everything he does and it builds his mindset, I can see that. I hate to do it because, you know, I'm going to do it, but I'm taking the Bucs to win the division. I think that team is ready. I'm a big Jameis guy. I know he gambles a lot, but they added DeSean Jackson to the offense along with Mike Evans. I like Cameron Brate as their tight end. I know Doug Martin suspended the first three games, so you got a lot of Jaquizz Rodgers starting it back for them. I'm sure Reg knows him for playing with the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
I like their defense. Their kicking game is probably their only question mark. I mean, they let Robert Aguayo go, who was a second-round draft pick, which is a joke. Sorry. I mean, kickers' lives matter. I know people always say that. But I like that. And plus, they also have O.J. Howard, the young, talented tight end from Alabama, to go along with all those talented receivers and Jameis Winston. So I'm taking Tampa. I think the Falcons finish second. Love McCaffrey. I think he's going to be great for the Panthers. And then I'm taking the Saints to finish last. They lost too much. I mean, losing Brandon Cooks, Breeze is aging. I think Breeze will put up numbers. He always does in that offense. I agree with Reg. I think it's time to replace him. I'm sorry, I don't think Luke McCown's the answer for the Saints at quarterback. I don't even know who else they have. I think they drafted someone, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to look, but I think they're going to finish in last, and it's unfortunate because I'm a big Breeze guy. Love what he did for that city, him and Sean Payton, but how long ago? Was it 2009 they won Super Bowl? So you got 8 years ago that this happened. So, yeah, I'm taking the definitely taking the Bucks, and then the Falcons will be my second pick and a wild card team.
Okay. I got to agree with Reggie. The backup is Garrett Grayson you're trying to think of.
Is it? Because I'm looking at their thing, they have Chase Daniel, too.
I thought they got rid of him.
Maybe they did.
From what I'm looking at, it goes Breeze, McCown, Grayson. So, but either way, I'm agreeing with Reggie. I think there'll be a slight hangover for Atlanta, but it won't be enough to deter them finishing first. I think Tampa Bay is still half a year away from catching them. I mean, there's a chance that if Atlanta starts trying to put cruise control on too early, Tampa could overtake them. But as much as I like Winston, him and Mariota and Wentz are going to be the big people we talk about in a couple of years, I still stand behind that. And also that Jameis Winston is what Cam Newton, when we put those careers side by side, we're going to look at that's what Cam should have been, but he couldn't put it together or he got hurt or whatever you want to say. I actually think New Orleans is going to finish ahead of Carolina because I think they're still a hot mess and they're going to start having personnel issues, I think. And I do think Tampa is going to be close and moving into our wild cards. I got Tampa as a wild card, and almost by default, I think somehow Dallas is going to sneak into the other one because I don't have them taking the division. And it has nothing to do with me being a Dallas fan. I just, as I look over the rest of the NFC, I don't see anybody else that I mean, maybe it's going to come down to Dallas and the Giants because I don't have them winning that division as the other wild card, in my opinion. But, you know, Tampa Bay, Dallas are mine from the NFC side. I got Atlanta winning it. Just like I said, Tampa Bay's they're like a half year away from catching them. And if Atlanta doesn't keep up the intensity, maybe it happens this year. Cody, who are your other two wild cards?
All right, so I got the Falcons because obviously I picked Tampa Bay, and I think Dallas will be the other wild card team. I like Philly. I think Philly's trending upwards, but I'm going to go with Dallas and the Falcons.
Okay, and Reggie, who are your other two?
And I'm going with Dallas and Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay makes a wild card. I think Dallas. I'm teetering between Dallas and the Giants, but I think in the end, Dallas will take it.
So Dallas and Tampa Bay.
And Reggie, you were correct. 5 of the last 6 weeks on the Falcons' schedule are against the NFC South. The only difference is they play Minnesota. 4 from the end, 2, 3, 5 from
yep,
the
December,
end. But
yep, December 12th.
Yep. But yeah, that stretch is going to be pivotal for them by far. And then, you know, since we went through all the divisions, we got all of our picks out here. They're out here in the open for everybody. I actually talked to Coach about this, so I have it on record with him, but probably for the last month and a half, I've had my Super Bowl pick, and I still stick past it. Apparently, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk agreed with me, even though he doesn't know my pick. And I'll get to that in a second. But, Reggie, we'll start with you. What's your Super Bowl pick as of right now?
Oh, you already know. There's no question for me. I think this is Atlanta's year. I think, you know, we can talk New England. We can talk a whole bunch of teams. I just think that, you know, when you get that close, and it basically just came down to taking your foot off the gas. I think that's an easy fix, right? And again, it's hard to beat a team. I don't think it'll be an easy victory. I don't think it'll be quite as they won't run over New England as much as they did in the first half or the first three quarters of the last Super Bowl. But I think there's just too much there. And I think pride. My motto for New England this year has been pride cometh before the fall.
So you got the rematch.
Absolutely.
Okay, and you even gave the nod to the Falcons for taking that one. I could definitely see that. Cody, what are you looking at?
All right, well, I'm going to take the
let's see. Let me think about NFC teams for a second. You know what? Okay. I'm going to take the Falcons to get there as a wild card. There's always that wild card team that gets hot, makes it to the Super Bowl. Think it could be the Falcons. For the AFC, I'm going to make it pretty obvious. We all know who we're going to go with here. We're going to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the Super Bowl this year. I think this is the year for the Steelers. If this is Roethlisberger's last year, why not go on top? Every single player in Pittsburgh that ever goes on what says it's their last year always goes on top, i.e. Jerome Bettis in 2005. I'm from Pittsburgh. Not a Steeler fan. Love the offense. I think this is the year. Sorry, Reg. If this happens, we'll make a gentleman's wager if this is the Super Bowl.
Hey, I like it.
I almost halfway want this to happen because I think that gentleman's agreement will be really fun. It'll probably help the show too. But I like either one of those matchups. And I'm not sure what coach's is. I'll have to get his if he even gives me one. He'll probably agree with me, honestly. I've got the New England Patriots obviously going back. I do see that if anybody is going to knock New England off, it could be Pittsburgh. But I feel like New England's going to keep finding a way. They're kind of limp into the playoffs towards the end. They're going to play it low because of some injuries towards the end. But I got New England, and they're going to go against the Green Bay Packers because I think in the war of attrition that is the NFC, for some reason, I feel like the Packers are going to outlast everybody, and it's probably going to come down to them in Atlanta, and I think they're going to win because I think they're going to have the home field advantage. Whether Atlanta wins their division, like I say, or whether they're the wild card, I think Green Bay is going to have the home field advantage. And as much as I'd like Aaron Rodgers to get a second one, I still feel like if that matchup happens, the New England Patriots are going to win, what, three in a row now. But I like all three of these matchups, and I think either of these matchups are going to boost the NFL to a higher level than they are. I think we did pretty well with these.
I agree. I was actually going to take the pack. I thought it was going to pack. It could be a rematch of the Super Bowl with Packers and Steelers, but I like Atlanta a little more defensively than the Packers.
Yep,
yeah,
that actually is where I made my decision. Honestly, I mean, when I took my Falcons hat off, I think the defense for Atlanta is going to be a top five defense. Believe it or not, I just think that, you know, the speed that they have, that front seven is going to really disrupt people, and I think that's going to be the difference maker, in them against. I can see them playing the Packers again. Either the Packers or the Seahawks again in the NFC Championship, but I still think Atlanta just has way too much of a chip on their shoulders, and I think it's going to be a no-brainer there.
Absolutely. So to quickly recap, at T-minus 5 minutes till the season officially starts, Reggie has the Falcons going over the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Cody has the Steelers over the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and I have the Patriots over the Green Bay Packers. We'll see how these play out. And either way, I think we're in for a really good season. This is one of the better kickoff games we've seen in a while. I'm glad it actually starts with two pretty decently competitive teams. And,
agreed.
We'll get to see if Andy Reid has learned how to work the clock towards the end of the season. I mean, towards the end of the game here. If not, New England may roll in this one. But either way, before we get out of here, we always do picks, and I actually threw four games together really quickly. We'll go through them as fast as we can so we can get out of here. We're going to start with Atlanta at Chicago. Reggie, even though it's a no-brainer, who do you have in this one?
Definitely Atlanta. I think this is a statement game. They have to let people know that they're still here and still relevant after going 0-4 in the preseason, which really means nothing. But nonetheless, I think Atlanta big.
Okay, Cody, who do you have?
You know what? This is interesting. This is a big game for Mike Glennon. I'm gonna go off the limb here, and I'm gonna pick the Falcons to win that game.
Yeah, I don't know how long Mike Glennon's gonna last this year. I got the Falcons, obviously, in that one. Next, Cody, we're gonna start with you because it's gonna include the flagship team you mentioned earlier. The Oakland Raiders are gonna be in Tennessee against the Titans, as we spoke highly of both. Who wins it?
I got the Raiders in this one. It was a good matchup last year, although there was no Delanie Walker. If the Raiders can stop the run, I think they can win this game. Their offense is just too high powered against that Titans defense.
All right, I got Tennessee in this one. I think Mariota and his weapons are way too strong. I think the top three, top four offensive line are going to allow them to run all they want. And as soon as you start to try to stop that, you got Delanie Walker and even the recently signed, because Harry Douglas got hurt, Eric Weems, very familiar with that guy as well, may have a big game because Oakland will never see him. He's so small. Reggie, who do you have?
Well, I don't think Eric Weems does anything. He didn't do anything here. But that being said, I predict that Marshawn – I think Marshawn Lynch is going to be the deciding factor. I think it'll be 100 yards. I think Oakland in a squeaker.
You did say Oakland, right?
Yep, Oakland in a close game.
Okay. It was kind of going in and out, so that's why I decided to ask there. Game number three, we have the Eagles that we were so high on earlier against the Washington Redskins that we are all Kirk Cousins fans. I got Philadelphia in this one. We're going to finally see Philadelphia start to explode. It's going to be week one, and even though Cousins will have a big game, Philadelphia wins this one. Reggie, who do you have?
I'll go with Philly.
Cody?
No, this is a tough one for me because it's hard for me to pick, but we're going to fly, Eagle fly, right out of D.C. I'm going to take the Redskins to win this game.
Okay. And lastly, in what could be – it's the last game of the week, and it could be the most entertaining, honestly, because it'll show us where these teams are at. The Los Angeles Chargers – it's taken me all summer to not say that wrong. The Los Angeles Chargers will be in Denver to take on John Elway's Broncos because he's the most notable quarterback involved. Reggie, who do you have in this?
Ah, this is a tough one. But I'm going
to
go with Denver.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Denver.
Cody?
I'll take the Chargers. I like the Chargers in this one. Phillip Rivers on the road in Denver. Denver disarray, no quarterback. Kutzy Osweiler. I'll take the Chargers.
Yeah, I got the Chargers in this one. I feel like Phillip Rivers is going to throw over the top of Von Miller and – as good as the secondary and linebackers are, just, I don't know, for some reason, it sounds like a fun time for Phillip Rivers and his, $200,000 bus that looks fantastic. It's nicer than most houses in the general Atlanta area. And there's some nice houses in Atlanta, but I think everybody else is going to jump on the bus as well. I think the Chargers take that one. So to recap, myself and Cody have the Chargers where Reggie has Denver. Myself and Reggie have Philadelphia going on the road and beating the Redskins, where Cody took Kirk Cousins and Washington. I took Tennessee. Both you guys took Oakland. And for the second time in the show.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
We all homered out on Atlanta against the Mike Glennon fueled, I guess, Chicago, which otherwise is known as the Church Building Fund of the NFL. But that's going to wrap it up for the show. It's good to have you back on, Reggie. And I know it's we're going to have a lot more fun this season and a lot more fun things going on. At some point, we're going to redo the theme song, and at some point, it's not going to sound like a third grader trying to play it on a keyboard. But any closing remarks?
No, just from me real quick, guys. It's good to be back on the show. Cody, it's good to talk to you and hear from you again. Jeremy, as always, you know you're one of my dudes, man. And I'm looking forward to this year, man. I think it'll be a fun year.
I agree with Reg, except, I'm glad to hear your voice too, Reg. I'm really hoping it's worse. Our Steelers-Falcons thing really plays out. This could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, like I said, I can't lie. I would actually look forward to that matchup because of the gentleman's agreement there, because I know my team won't be involved, and at least, Cody, you got a couple teams, so you don't have to worry about San Francisco. But it's going to do it for us this week. Thanks for joining us on Sports Club. For Reggie, for Cody, and for the coach that will be with us hopefully in the next couple weeks. I'm Jeremy. We'll see you guys next week. Go Falcons.
These guys are warriors.